Our reading today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen on others. Truly, I say to you, that they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word, for the way that it challenges us, it shapes us and grows us, and help us to encounter your word in its fullness this morning. We ask for the help of your spirit, and we thank you together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you all. I want to also make sure that we welcome folks who are with us on Facebook Live, and we're a small group here, and hopefully a good group out there, but we just want to say welcome, and it's great to have everyone with us, each person. But I thought it was kind of profoundly funny to have, right after Thanksgiving, a text on fasting. So, but God in his wisdom knows what text we need and when we need it. And it's not so much about fasting as it is about hiddenness, about how we're not who we seem to be. And I've just learned in my life, you never know who you're talking to. My father used to exemplify this a lot because he would be at work in the car rental that he owned, and he'd be wearing his cutoff shorts and his sandals and his t-shirt that says something on it like "Here today, gone to Maui," and his hat and his long hair coming down, and someone would come up indignant saying, "I want to rent a car." "Well, I'm sorry, we don't have any cars in right now. We'll have one at 4 o'clock. That's the next time one comes in." "Well, I want one right now." "Oh, well, I'm afraid there's not anything I can do about that. We don't have any for rent." "What about those?" "Well, there's reservations for those. Someone's coming in for those cars." "Well, I want to speak to the manager." And say, "I'm sorry, the manager's not here right now." "You can speak to the manager when he comes back in." "When will he be in?" "At 4 o'clock. And of course, he's the manager. You just never know who you're talking to. And there's stuff about people that's always hidden. And we're always more than what we show and what we see. And I'm a sucker for stories. I'm a sucker for movies. I cry at Hallmark movies. We were talking about Hallmark movies earlier. I know what's going to happen. They still get me anyhow. Okay? But the reason why a story is reused is because it's good. And if you look at old stories, you find that there's often a story about someone who lived their life ridiculed as either stingy or self-serving. I mean, the example is the guy who is in the town considered to be the miser. And finally, you know, is rumored to be incredibly wealthy. But then dies and it's discovered that he was supporting the local orphanage with everything that he had. It's who we are in secret that shows who we really are. And so Jesus, really, he presents these three different things. Beebs led us through the first two last week, and we're going to do kind of the third one and the summary this week. And he talks about why we do what we do in public and why we do things the way that we do them. And it's all about ways that we can misuse the visible to seem like something that we're not. And he talks about, first of all, whether it's giving to be honored by people, praying to be seen by people, fasting to be noticed by people in this week. And in each of these cases, Jesus says, if you do that, you'll have your reward in full. You'll have this. Nicely done. You know, that's what you'll get. And so Jesus says, if that's the reward you're after, you'll get it. You'll get it in life. If you make your best stuff super visible, you'll get your reward. But he says in verse 17, fast in a way that's imperceptible to people. And don't take praise from people. And he makes it, he gives us ways, like there's an effort involved here to not show what we're doing, to keep certain things out of view. He says, with giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, your hands know what each one is doing, okay? So he's talking about giving an effort here of kind of doing your best stuff for the right reason, not for people. And again, praying, don't just go inside. Go inside and shut the door. And fasting. You're fasting. Look as though you're celebrating. Wash your face and put oil in your hair, which would be, you know, getting ready for company, getting ready, you know, to greet people. Look as though you're rejoicing. Don't let people know what you're doing. And Beeb showed us last week that this doesn't mean that there's no such thing as public worship, but no such thing as public prayer. Public prayer, public worship is important, and there's a place for it. The problem is when we do our private prayer publicly, and we do our public, our private giving publicly, and our private fasting publicly. It means that there's a problem with our motives. It means that we don't understand who God is as well. So I guess this raises the question, why do people even fast? Fasting has three different kind of main areas in the scriptures. The first one we see in places like Ezra chapter 10, where we're fasting in order to repent of sin. It's the same thing at the end of the book of Jonah, when Nineveh and the king, they even put the donkeys in sackcloth, and they fall on their faces before God to repent, and they fast. So that's one thing. Another thing, sometimes we fast, and what we're saying is, Lord, the regular stuff of earth doesn't compare with the urgency that we sense in heaven. This is like the fast of Esther. Esther's going to go and speak to the king to save the Jewish people. And before she does, she says to her uncle Mordecai, tell everyone to fast before I go. And what you're doing is you're saying, food and drink are normally scheduled. They're normally important. But what's going on right now is so important that it supersedes the regular schedule. This is heaven, you know, God, we need the resources of heaven urgently. And so to repent of sin by fasting and to do it publicly creates pride. Look at how repentant I am. Oh, right. In the same way, to express an urgency toward heaven and to do it for people shows it's thin. There's another reason that we fast, and it's to care for the needs of others. And this is coming from Isaiah 58, where he talks about, God says, isn't the fast that I require to break your bread with the hungry? Not just not to eat, but to care for the needs of someone else. And God says that when you do it, your righteousness will shine forth like the sun. But you do it for yourself. You give food away for yourself, for you know, public display, and you're corrupting what you're doing. And so this is the same thing that we said with the law, the same thing with the spiritual disciplines, which fasting, prayer, giving, we call these spiritual disciplines. These things can be misused. They can be used, instead of being a way to meet with God, they can be turned into a mechanism to look spiritual, to win praise, and to avoid God entirely. And that's what Jesus is warning against. You see, what Jesus says three times is that when you go to God who is in secret, the God who is in secret sees and rewards. In other words, this is the surprise of God that we find out in this text. This is the thing that we weren't expecting. That this idea that God is very much unlike us. He's very much the opposite of who we are. We tend to put our best stuff forward, to put on a front and show our best stuff, and to keep our worst stuff hidden and private. And we walk around like this, and we do it all the time. We want to hide what's ugly and shameful and wicked and flaunt what's beautiful. and use our best stuff to hide our worst stuff. We're like magicians. We're masters of spiritual misdirection. We always want people to, you know, look this, it's shiny, look at all these good things I do. Meanwhile, we've got all this stuff in our hearts that we don't want people to see. God doesn't have this. God has no ugliness. He has no shameful or dirty secrets. He has no pride. He doesn't have to prove anything. And that what that means is this, that God can display what is beautiful and hide what's even more beautiful. What is most beautiful about God is also what's most hidden. And what this means is that you can stand on a corner and pray all day long and shout, you know, call people to repentance and call down. And you'll do that all day long and not meet God at all. But then you can go into a little room to meet with God and to pray. And he's even there waiting for you before you get there. That's the difference. That's the difference that Jesus calls us to. And we see it in so many ways, this idea of the hiddenness of what's most beautiful. We see it in the tent of meeting, which was pitched outside of the camp in Exodus 33. And people would go out there, they'd leave the ordinary to go and to meet with God. Or we see it in the tabernacle, which God ordered them to build. And when they pitched it, it was a tent, and it was all covered with just rough leather skins. But when you went inside, it was covered in gold. It was leather on the outside and gold on the inside. Or the priesthood, where sacrifices for sin were made at the gateway to the tabernacle. They were the most obvious thing that the priesthood did, is make these sacrifices. And when they went to burn sin offerings in particular, they walked all the way through the camp and burned them outside the camp. They walked through camp with dripping blood, so that this was very obvious. And yet when they prayed, they went inside the tabernacle. They went into the inner court where no one was allowed and no one could see, and they met with God. And so the ugly stuff of life was presented, and what was most beautiful is what was most hidden. And this is true of Moses' encounter with the glory of God. You remember after the story of the golden calf, the people had sinned, they worshiped this idol, and God poured his judgment out on the camp. And then Moses said to God, please don't forsake us. Please go up with us to the promised land. And God said, okay, I'll do that. After some convincing. And then Moses said, okay, but one more thing. I want to see your glory. Show me your glory, God. And God said to Moses, I'll do it, but you can't see my face because you won't survive. You can see my hind parts as I pass by, but I'm going to have to put you in this cleft of the rock. I'm going to have to put my hand over it so that none of the glory leaks in as I pass by. And as I pass by, I'll remove my hand and you can turn around and see my back. And God did that, and Moses was there. And when God called out, he proclaimed his own name as he did. And he said, the Lord, compassionate and merciful, showing mercy to those who love me, even to the thousandth generation. What was visible was the God who is holy and judges sin and rebellion against him. But what was hidden was beautiful. The hidden secret of God was that he's compassionate and merciful, and that he loves and keeps his love and remembers his people and never forsakes them. What's most beautiful about God is what's most hidden. And that's what he calls us to be as well. That's what storing up treasure in heaven is. And we miss this sometimes when we read this because we don't read it fast enough. I'm always encouraging you to read your Bible more slowly. I'm also encouraging you to read your Bibles more quickly. And the reason why is because often we miss this flow of thought. But if you go from verse 1 of chapter 6, where Jesus says, behold, or beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father in heaven. And then you jump right to 16. Then you get the thought that frames these three examples of prayer, of giving, and fasting. And here's the other half of that idea. Don't practice in public your righteousness. But in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where the moth and rust destroy and the thieves break in. But store for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. The point is this. We often read this, store up treasures in heaven, we don't know how to do it. And Jesus says, here's how you do it. You give and take care of people without making a show of it. You fast and cry out to God without making a show of it. You pray, and you pray for people and for the world and for their needs without making a show of it. That's how you do it. It's really a lot more simple than we make it. But this is what he says. He says that if you are kingdom people, then what is most beautiful about you is most hidden. And it's fine for what's most ugly to be outside. Like the person they thought was a miser who is really a giver. We're called to be beautiful in the deepest places, in the secret places. We're to be people of a hidden beauty, a people where others may never see what the acts are that we're doing, but they live with the effects and they don't even know your part in their blessing. And this is the treasure. The treasure is this, that we have a future and we have a Father in heaven. This is what we've studying Colossians in Sunday school. This is what Colossians 3 tells us. Starting in verse 1, you know, if your lives are hidden with Christ, therefore seek things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And when Christ is revealed, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ is revealed, you'll be revealed also. This is the idea that your vindication, that the display of who you are, really, the beauty and reality of who you are as a child of God is something that is yet to be seen and yet to be displayed. We can work to show it off now, but we'll miss it, and people will miss it. So to the degree you're hidden now in the most beautiful things you do, you'll be displayed openly in those beautiful things. So what you value, Jesus says, is most evident by what you hide. Is it the best things that we do? Is it who we truly are that we hide? Is it the worst things that we do, what we hide? You know, if you want to see the most beautiful example of that visible beauty of God, this is where it is. God sent his Son to take on flesh and to walk among us. He took the treasure of heaven and put on the body of an itinerant carpenter, and he walked the earth. He was leather on the outside and gold on the inside. He sought quiet places to pray and to meet with the Father, so that his disciples had to come looking for him. When he was going to be transfigured and his glory, the fullness of his glory revealed, he took just a couple of his disciples and he went to the highest mountain far away from the crowd to show who he was. And even at the table, at the Last Supper, his disciples asked him, are you going to disclose yourselves just to us and not to the world? Isn't the world going to see who you are? When Jesus died for our sins, then the ugliness of his crucifixion was on display. But when he was raised from the dead, it was in the isolation of a tomb. The most beautiful thing that he ever did took place in a remote spot before daybreak, behind a large stone. But it was this selfless beauty that brought Christ back to life that also brings us into life. He has served you in secret, so that the Father might approve him openly. And this is the pattern that we're called to follow. The kingdom life, it's a life of humility. Our weakness, our sins are exposed, but our true selves are what's most hidden. What this means, what this invites us into, what this looks like is a life of radical realness. We don't have to put up the fake. We don't have to put up the front. It takes the model that the world has for the church and turns it on its head. I wonder, what our world, what our community would look like, and what our lives would look like if we modeled the priorities of the kingdom and made what's most beautiful about us most hidden and let the ugly stuff be on the outside. Is it too dangerous? Is it too scary? I wonder. I believe that's what Christ is calling us to. Let's pray together. And Father, thank you so much for your word and for your presence here in this place. We give our lives to you, grateful for all that you are and all that you call us to. And we praise you together in Jesus' name. Amen.